Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Last week we focused on Jesus being the man, right? And I love the picture of him in the tomb showing his back like he's about to walk out of there. That was cool. Hey, over the last couple of weeks, we're getting more of our church family back, and it's great to have Phil and Sandy here. Love having you guys back last week. It's great to have Reese and Mary here. Love seeing you guys here. Anybody else that I'm missing that hasn't been around? Janie, I see you, Janie. It's so good. I know you were here a couple weeks ago. Good to see you guys. Man, this is fun. Getting our church family back into it. I came walking around the corner coming out of our Sunday school class, and it smelled like the breath of angels is what it smelled like. And I knew that Mary Frances Peacock was in the sanctuary. And then I smelled Brute and sawdust and a little sweat mixed in with it, and I knew that Reese Peacock was in the sanctuary as well. Holy cats. Yes, it is. There's a lot of obsessed men around here wishing they were Reese Peacock. Obsession for Men by Estee Lauder. Calvin Klein. That's awesome. Love having you guys back. This morning, I want to dive into a message that, as I've been reading a couple books that I'll reference in a second, there's this thing that really hit my heart big time on the people of God truly living out their purpose and their passion while they're on the planet, and that there is a unique dream that's been placed inside of each person. And that should we give ourselves to this dream and to this purpose and to this passion that God has placed inside of us, or do we just kind of push it off, play it safe, do the kind of the predictable route? Is that what we should do? And so I want to dive in here this morning, and I really want to have some fun. And this message is for anyone who has ever hoped or believed that they could achieve something remarkable with their lives. This is for the dreamers. There is a dream that's out there inside of you. And just take a moment. Just kind of tap into that dream. And maybe it's a dream from childhood. Maybe there's a dream in your 20s and 30s. Maybe there's currently a dream now. And you're saying, man, I would trade my life to be living this dream. And I'm not talking like we just want to live in a dream vacation where we're just sitting on the beach sipping piña coladas. I'm talking about a real dream that I would put my hands to, that I would sweat, that I would cry over, that I would give my guts to, a dream that would fulfill much deeper than just kicking my feet up. It would be putting my shoulder to this sort of work that would bring so much more life and fulfillment to me than just coasting off into the sunset or by just hitting repeat and living one day for 80 years and calling it good, that perhaps there would be a little splash that God would want to do with our lives, with your life. There's a dream, I believe, that's woven into your DNA from the womb when you were fearfully and wonderfully made by God that only you can uniquely do. There is something that I believe that as God is weaving together this life and this baby in your mama's womb, what would be wonderful to me is that he marks identity in these DNA strands. And he marks purpose and unique skill sets. And this DNA is going to have the giftings to be able to do this. And there's going to be some natural inclinations for this. I'm going to form and fashion their mind to where they're super creative like this, or to where they're just strong and they're going to be able to do this because you're wonderfully made for a thing. And no doubt along the way, there's some dream crashers. There's some party crashers on that dream. And so maybe you feel like I've had a dream, but I just haven't had anybody that's really encouraged or backed me up on this one. So the only other route was just to go get that J-O-B, put my head down, go to work, just call it a life. But I never actualized really what I feel down deep inside of me that I would give my guts to, because it is my guts. It's the inner weavings of me as a man. There are a few audiences that I believe that are out here today. And as we cast a vision for this, in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says this, that without a vision, the people perish. Another translation would say it this way: without vision, people cast off restraint. I'm just going to kind of go do whatever. I'm not focused. I'm not locked in. I'll just go do whatever I want to do. But with a vision, all of a sudden, there's like tunnel vision. I put some blinders on, and this horse is ready to run a race that's marked and set out for him. And I'm not distracted. I'm not looking everywhere. I can't hear all the other voices. They are harnessed in, and they are locked in. But without a vision, we just kind of meander about. And it's not that we physically die without a vision. The Bible says that we die without vision. It's just that something inside of us, the makeup of who we are, just lays dormant and slowly dies off. Today, I want to bring a Holy Spirit defibrillator and try to breathe some life back into those dreams. A couple different people in the audience. Maybe it's some of you feel like you're at the beginning of your dream. Maybe others, you feel like you're actually living the dream. Others, you're not even dreaming at all. And sometimes we don't dream because we were never given permission to dream. It's like, hey, we weren't allowed to dream. We had to do whatever Dad said. We weren't allowed to be creative. We weren't allowed to think outside the box. It was, this is the path, you do this. Maybe you're not dreaming because you went after that dream, but it didn't work out, and you just got smacked, and you're paying the price for it, and you're like, thanks, but no thanks. Cute message, I'm going to check out now. I'm just going to hide behind my pew and check out Facebook. Maybe you tried, and it didn't work, and it's left you kind of disenchanted. Maybe you're not dreaming because you're not sure what the next steps are. You've just kind of stalled out. I don't know where to go next. Others feel like maybe you've just aged out of the system. Hey, that's a young man's game. Yeah, go do your fantasies and fairy tales and dreams. The practicalities is what I got to focus in on. And I'm just trying to get to the finish line. I've aged out of the system. There's no more dreams for me. As if God's done with you, by the way. Others, maybe you're on the back end and you've lived the dream. But I want to encourage you, we still need you to hear this message, because we need you to encourage others to go after that God-sized dream that He has put inside of us, to where we build a culture in this church of extravagant faith. Big faith people. Big vision people. Big vision people, because vision, if I could say it this way, with vision you have life. Without a vision, you have death. With vision, it brings life. How many of y'all know when you've got that thing coming up in a couple days, it just kind of gets you giddy, you're excited, it kind of breeds some energy and some life. Nora has been wanting to go on a daddy-daughter date for I don't know how long, and she's asking, and we put one on the schedule. You know what that did for her? Oh my gosh, now we've got a date set. There's some energy and some vision, and she had this life. So she would wake up, hey, Dad, you know how many more days? 3 more days, daddy-daughter date. Next time, hey, Nora, do you know how many more days? 2 more days. And there was a vision. We're going somewhere. Something's happened. It created some energy and some excitement when we know that we're heading somewhere. And how many of y'all know those deadlines are like lifelines? They just bring some life when I see that finish line. It kind of brings some encouragement to our hearts. And so no matter what area or season of life you're in, I want you to lock in on this, because for some, they are heading off to pursue some God-sized dreams, and they're going to face some giants in the land, And we need some sage men and women of God who have been there and who can help be a roadmap and say, hey, let me help steer. Let me help give some vision for how you can do this better. One of my guys that's here in the church and who's in our men's group and who is, I'm so thankful that he is guarding that door because it takes both doors for him to get out because he's got these shoulders, is my man Skip. And Skip Lewis is sitting back there. Hey, Skip, you just want to flex on him real quick? Yep. Oh, he put his coffee down. Look, there it is. Yep, I love it. Skip had this thing that hits his spirit to where he's like, you know what? I just don't want to do the 9-to-5, sit in the cubicle and just kind of punch the time clock. Perhaps there's more. And this business opportunity comes his way. And so he said, I'm going to launch out. And he buys this business and he goes in. And you know what it requires of him? Risk, financial investment, time, sleepless nights, a lot of sweat, a lot of like, man, you got to have extra conversations to work through in marriage and kids. Like, there's more demands on your life than just hitting the easy road, right? It requires even more. And so you check this out, and Skip and Shannon buy this restaurant called Doherty's. Anybody like ice cream? Am I in the right place this morning? Yeah, Doherty's. And so, because Skip did this a couple years ago, Skip, how many years has it been?
9 years, 10 seasons.
9 years, 10 seasons, and I'm going to wear my Doherty's t-shirt this morning and preach in this. Skip, this is the most free advertisement right here that you're going to get. And you guys want to get an ice cream cone and a chili cheese dog, right? What's the best food you got, Skip?
Everything.
Perfect answer. That's the perfect answer. Everything's amazing. Skip recently brought me Blue Moon ice cream, soft serve. It's out of control. I gotta stay focused. All right. But he launched out, and he did something that I just can't help but believe that God just kind of smiles down. He's like, that's my boy. He's just gonna go for it. He's gonna take a risk. He's gonna gamble. Maybe risk was that giant in the land. You're like, nope, not gonna do it. Uninterested in risk. I like safe. Show me where safety is. Show me where the safe path is. And perhaps that's just what you were modeled. And I want to encourage you that you were born from God. And the Lord is a warrior, and he comes marching out like a mighty man. And he stirs up his zeal until he dominates over his enemies. There's something aggressive about the character of your father that you were made in an image of, right? And so I want to start speaking to that piece of you today. Maybe there's some dreams and some visions inside of you. In Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Maybe your vision is for a new job. Maybe you're just kind of frustrated in where you're at. Maybe your vision is for you want to launch into that new business. Maybe your vision is, I want an awesome marriage, and I need to just double down. I got a vision, and it's bringing me life to see where I can go in my vision, in my marriage. Maybe your vision is to start building some bridges with your children. And man, this is giving me life, and it's giving me some excitement because I've got a vision. I've got a hope here because it's starting to hit me with some energy and some excitement. Whatever those things are, let's have permission to dream this morning. And mom and dad aren't here, okay? And you're free to dream. And you're free to come out from underneath that. That boss, that coach, that teacher that was so heavy-handed that you'll never amount to anything, they're off of you this morning. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is liberty. And so we want to be free to start executing the imagination of God. Let's imagine. What could he still do with my life? What would he want to do with my life? What would he want to do with your life? Maybe you want to get a vision to where you're like, Bud, I want crazy faith and boldness. And every person I come into contact with is a God-ordained appointment that I want to speak life into. That's my vision. I want to become that person. So whenever I stand before people, I have courage and boldness, and I speak life into them. Maybe that's the vision this morning. But something kind of holds us back from busting through. One of the books that is a game changer for me, it's called The Dream Giver. And I would encourage every single person to read this book, to put it to memory, to make notes in it, to make this like your next little journal here. You need to write all over this thing and make this the pathway of faith for you. It's Bruce Wilkinson, and he tells this story. There's nobody whose name is Ordinary. And Mr. Ordinary lives in the town of Familiar. And Familiar gets up and he does his normal job. And every day he wakes up in Familiar and heads off to his normal job, and he brings good enough energy as he engages into his day. And every day is Groundhog's Day as he does the same thing over and over and over again. Until one day, his eyes fill up with tears, and he realizes God is much bigger than this. And I have severely sold him so short with how I'm living my life for him. So something starts to get provoked inside of Ordinary. And Ordinary says, no longer do I want to live in the land of Familiar, but I want to embark toward the land of my dreams. And so as Ordinary starts to provoke, and this is just a story, it's super simple, you could probably read it in a day or two, but it will fill your life with so much vision and excitement. And as he begins to take some steps, Best Friend walks up, and Best Friend says, oh, so you're going to be one of those dreamers too. And Ordinary responds, and he says, yes, I am, and you can have my couch and my TV box because I have no need of them anymore. And as he exchanges his couch for a new pair of shoes to get to moving, and he exchanges the TV box because he's no longer bored and he has to check out of life and be entertained by somebody else's life, he's like, my life is so engaging and entertaining. I'm locked in on this thing, and he gets after it. And he starts to get out with the old and in with the new. And one of the very first action steps that Ordinary has to take is understanding a new identity. I want to show you this in the scripture. In Exodus chapter 3, this Ordinary, who wasn't so much ordinary sort of a guy, by the name of Moses. And Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, literally, he has the burning bush experience where God comes in the form of fire and consumes this bush, and a voice comes out from the bush and it says, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of slavery in Egypt. And so here's the vision. Here's the dream. Moses, you're going to be a world changer. You're going to be the great deliverer. I got this huge dream, this God-sized dream. It's more than 9 to 5, and it's more than, you know, do you have health benefits, Moses? It's not the safe plan. You got it? I mean, there's going to be fire and, like, seas that are going to swallow you up. You're going to be chased by the Egyptian soldiers. It's going to be wild and crazy, man. I'm going to feed you from the raven's mouth. It's going to be wild for a minute. People are going to hate you. You want to sign up for that one, Moses? I got you, bro. It's going to be awesome. And as he communicates this vision, what starts hitting Moses is he doesn't know who he is. Check this out. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? The first action step to pursuing your dream, I believe, is to get so God entranced in your identity before him that you know who you are because you've seen him. You live before the throne. You live in the presence. And when you gaze upon a God like that, let me tell you something. What you behold, you become. And when my eyes are fixed on that, I start taking on the identity of that. You know what used to happen as a kid whenever I'd watch the Chicago Bulls play in the 90s? I would watch Jordan play. I would watch about 5 minutes of the game. I'm like, enough of this. I got to go play. And it drew me in. And I would turn the game off. I would go outside. I would start playing. And I would lower the goal down to about 6 feet. And I was Jordan, man. I was throwing dunks down. I was throwing it off the backboard, doing all kinds of stuff. Missed most of them, but I tried. And there was something in me. When I see it, I want to pursue it. And I'll tell you, if you're just kind of seeing this broken model and you saw what mom and dad did and you saw what your neighbors are doing, you can just kind of see what Fairmount and Summitville do, and you just kind of get caught up in an atmosphere that's so far beneath the imagination and the power of God, then we've got to change atmospheres to where it kind of gets a little hotter. That incubator starts getting a little warmer. We get into a different greenhouse that can produce better life inside of us, to where our minds can transcend and we're seated in heavenly places with this God who wants to maximize your life, because you get one at bat. You get one swing of life, and we're swinging for the fence in our experience here on planet Earth. We're giving everything we can for this experience. For Jesus, we got to max it out, right? We got to max it out. And so I've got to fix my eyes. Jesus, how would you want me to do this? How do you want me to maximize my influence? Jesus, I've come into some money. How do you want me to deploy my finances? How do you want me to have a vision for this money that I have? God, I don't have money, but I've got energy. I've got a strong back. God, how do you want me to maximize this? I got to get my eyes fixed on him. And I'll tell you, as my eyes are fixed and my ears are tuned in, things start getting really clear. And clarity is king. And when things get clear, things get good. Because there's nothing like having a whole bunch of energy and excitement from Pastor Brock. He's going to get all here and fire us up, but I don't know what to do with it. We got to get into the presence and say, Jesus, bring some clarity here so that I know what my next step is. So I'm reading this book. I'm reading this book by Tim Tebow. It says, "This is the day." If there's a guy that gets after life, it's Tim Tebow. And I just get so inspired by the energy that he brings to this thing. I mean, he wants to hit life like he's a Mack truck. I mean, he is coming after it. And he writes this. He said, "Think about it this way. When you believe whose you are in Jesus and strive to thrive in your environment, you are in a way thanking him for creating you, for being the perfect author of your faith and of your life. What we think about God should reflect in what we do, how we live, and how we spend our time." What if the way that you spend your time is what you think about God? Think about it. Do a quick audit of your schedule and think, man, how much faith am I deploying with every action step that I'm taking? Man, how am I really putting myself out there thinking, what's the next dream of God? How do I want to use the anointing and the gift mix that God has put upon me? And now, every moment of every day looks like how I'm trusting God for these big breakthrough moments. Or not, possibly. Could be a scary thing. I love the song, Kathy, that you sang this morning. "It is so sweet to trust in Jesus." And this takes a massive trust leap, right? This massive leap of faith to say, Jesus, I'm all in. I want to put that song to the test. And not just sing it, but let's live it. And if you ain't living it, let's not sing it. Let's not. Let's not act like it, as if Jesus isn't in the room. Let's live it as if we're living it right in front of his face. Moses goes on here in verse 12 and he says, "And God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go." Isn't this funny? It's like he's like talking to a friend. Okay, let's suppose I go. And he's bantering back with the Almighty God. Suppose I obey you on this one. "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of the father of your father has sent me to you. But they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them?" Moses, and as you read through this, chapter 3 and chapter 4, Moses just keeps questioning God. He keeps questioning the dream giver throughout all this. I want to tell you this. There's a big difference between questioning and asking questions. there really is a different heartbeat behind the two. Asking questions with faith and just questioning with doubt. There's a big difference in being around somebody who's hungry and asking questions. I'm just hungry. And I love being around hungry people. And I usually can tell it when they ask great questions. And I also know when I'm around cynics and they're just questioning everything. Oh, yeah, well, why'd you do that? Oh, yeah, you think that's a good idea? You're not asking a question. You're accused. That's an accusation. That's not a question. And you're making a statement in the form of a question, but I get what you're doing there. But somebody who comes with hunger. So just recently, yesterday, I'm in the car with Judah. And Judah asked me this question. Ben, you're going to love this question. He says, hey, Dad, what does it take to be an absolute stud muffin? And I said, Judah, you've come to the right place. So I lay out a couple things that I think would be great for a young man, this young buck, 11-year-old, on his mind. Oh, what do I got to do to be a stud? That's what he's thinking about as we're sitting in the car. That's what's going on in his mind. So then he communicates what's going on in his mind. Dad, I want to know. What does it take? So this morning, before we come over here to church, I say, hey, Judah, what do you want to do after church? I want to do a little father-son time today. And his response was, Dad, yesterday, when I asked you what's it take to be a stud, you said that a stud reads a lot of books. A stud is well-read. So what would be some good books for me to read at my age so I can learn and grow so that I can be a stud? I'm like, I don't know. You're beyond me now. I don't have a clue. I thought I had like one good answer, but now you're going to another level. There's this hunger that's being produced inside. There's a huge difference between asking great questions and then just questioning. And the spirit of Moses, he's like, he's questioning. And if you come to this place where God just wants to put some stuff inside of you and you've just become cynical with it, just like, who am I? I don't have the right last name. I didn't get a head start in life. I don't have the money to do it. I don't have. And we list all the reasons why God's idea is dumb. God, you're an idiot on this one. Allow me to lead my life. I'll take it from here. Because you don't have a clue. No, I'll be with you, Moses. This is the sign. I'm with you. I'm in the room. I'm walking alongside you. Let's go. Let's go. I'm with you. Nope. Who am I? And he goes on later and he says, I'm not eloquent in speech. They won't listen to me. I'm not a good communicator. And he comes up with all the excuses. And I do believe that we want to find the excuses because sometimes we just don't want to try. This next action step that Ordinary takes in this book is he says, I had to leave my home. My home was called comfort zone. And when I decided to leave my comfort zone, I realized that I was in a new land and there were giants in the land. And the giants were fear, lack of competence, lack of skill, overwhelmed, lack of money, lack of mentors, just lack all around. The giants were critics. The giants were risk. And he got swallowed up in the land of the giants. Hit you just with a couple more ideas here, and then we'll wrap it. One of the things that he had to do when he left his comfort zone was to pursue constant discomfort. And if we can come into a place, and I know that I'm talking to Western Americans, and we like our comfort, and I'll tell you, I like comfort. But comfort and ease have never made me more like Christ. And so, in our family, we want to constantly be friends with discomfort. A few years ago, Alyssa and I, we had these crazy ideas that we wanted to do these triathlons. So you swim, you bike, and then you run. And that wasn't enough, so then we wanted to do the Ironman. That was crazy. And it was uncomfortable, and you're chafing, and you're burning and you're tired and you're exhausted and you can't walk for a couple days and it was painful and all these different workouts, and or maybe you're doing something and you got, it's wedding season, hey, and I want to get that into that wedding dress. You're like, oh man, it's uncomfortable. I got to eat right and I got to work out. I don't know, whatever those things are. Or maybe it's just all, your overall health. You're like, man, it's uncomfortable to try to like get your body right or your mind right. Or maybe you're like, man, it's going to be uncomfortable. If we're going to launch this business, we got to get super tight and lean financially. Whatever those discomforts are. But I'll tell you, your dream won't come easy. It just won't. It just won't. And there's those sacrifices. And I want to encourage, man, what are some sacrifices? Maybe you're looking and you're thinking, I'm just kind of older in age. What is it left that the Lord would want to do with me? And I would say, you know what? What are those things that life is just kind of good right now and I don't want to give up any of these comforts? But God, all things are from you, they're through you, and they're back to you. And I live as a living sacrifice to lay him back down. This is who we are. We have to live uncomfortable. We got to get familiar with living uncomfortable. Embrace the pain. It's part of the process. It just is. It's part of the process. Let's just call it what it is. No more excuses. No more excuses. It's not that I'm too old. It's not that I'm too young. It's not that I'm too big. It's not that I'm too small. It's not that I'm too whatever. Let's call it what it is. That's an excuse, and I need to dream with God again. Right? Let's get our minds back there. In Luke 18, 27, Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. I'm not saying everything that you're going to do is impossible, you know, is going to be possible. I can't take on the world. I can't do all these sort of things. But what this scripture does to me when I read it, it fills me with a hope and with an imagination that I can do far more with God strengthening my heart and lifting my head than I ever thought was possible. He truly can do that in my life. As we go on in this series, which we're going to do this for a couple weeks, we want to start to provoke some dreamers inside of you. We want to tickle your dreamer strings. And I want to start seeing some dreams come out of the church. And maybe it's a dream to reach the community. Hey, you know what? I've always wanted to do this in the schools, but I've just been scared. I don't know how to pull it off. You know what? I've always wanted to do this outreach, and I just don't know how to go about it. And I want to hear those dreams because we want to start partnering with one another as we dream with God for how he would maximize our lives here on the planet. As I pray for you this morning, I want you to feel free to dream. Start writing them down. And then we're going to come back next week at least, and maybe the following, and see if we could start executing the imagination of God for your life, for your marriage, and for our community. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Jesus, you are the ultimate dreamer. You dreamt up all of creation. You have put this thing in your mind. You have given us the mind of Christ. And Lord, we pray right now, God, that you would allow your people to be set free in their imaginations. Lord, I pray that you would wash over all of those dings and all of those hurts. Lord, I pray that you would take every ordinary person that's living in the land of familiar and begin to disrupt the comfortable. And Lord, I pray that we would be those that would be super friendly with discomfort, that we would know it well, that we would embrace the dream of God. Lord, I pray, God, set us free. Still, for some of you, you just don't think, well, that it's for everybody but me. Nope. God wants to use you. He wants to dream with you, and he wants to do some awesome things in your life. Lord, we just pray that this would be one that sets your people free, and we thank you for vision that brings life to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.